everybody. Welcome to 90 Day Fiancé Cray Cray. I'm Kim.
And I'm Kyle, and I look like I smuggle drugs.
I mean, everybody knows that baby formula. That's how you do it. You smuggle drugs in the baby formula.
No one's ever taken baby formula on a plane before.
Nope, definitely not. Doesn't happen every day. Oh, you know, we start and end this episode with the same scene of Nicole and Mahmoud. I have a feeling this scene is going to be stretched out over half the season of HEA season 8. What do you think?
Well, this current fight has already comprised half of the current season. This is the third episode, and
no, it's well, maybe like the maybe sixth the, episode. Wait, what? Yeah, well,
this is episode six. This is episode six, but this fight has been going on since episode three, at least.
Oh, you're right. It already has been going on for half the season.
Yeah. So this is going to be a love after lockup situation where the entire season comprises of 3 days worth of real world time passing.
You know what? It's actually an efficient way for Nicole and Mahmoud to get paid. They have to do 3 days of filming. They get a full season's worth of money, and then they can
producers
go on their way.
Stoked. Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody actually makes out pretty great. So, this was hard to watch. Like, Julian, the friend with the Ukrainian wife, trying to, like, compare his wife's experience moving here from Ukraine to, like, Mahmoud.
You know, females in LA, let me get down to your level and talk like real men for a minute and about these fucking females, always so emotional.
It's like running after him, and Mahmoud looks like he's just gonna run out in traffic. It's dark. It's like 2 a.m. Nicole is drunk. Don't you? Nicole has got to be drunk, right? She seems drunk to me.
Get the fuck out, Mahmoud! Wait, I wasn't serious!
She's a nightmare, dude. She's
unhinged.
Terrible.
Unhinged. Yeah. I have to say, though, it's dramatic. Like, I'm riveted.
It certainly is. I don't understand why Julian is running after Mahmoud like he's his long-lost bro or something.
I mean, thank you, Julian, for your service. You're playing the part.
I guess.
You know, we need somebody to run after him. And if it's Nicole over and over again, it gets tiresome. So
listen, if I was dating Nicole, I might run into traffic intentionally too.
If you had to sleep, if you had to put 50 throw pillows, mismatched mothball throw pillows on the bed every morning after you woke up, you may also run into traffic. Yeah.
You're so triggered by the pillows.
I am so triggered by them still. Like, too much. How do you think the conversation was, this alleged conversation between Nicole and Mahmoud before he came to America, where she says, you have to meet me halfway, and Mahmoud says, I'll try? Like, try how? And also, like, what does meeting her halfway mean?
There was probably no conversation.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah. B, it may have gone exactly like Mahmoud described. Yeah, I'll meet you halfway. And then no follow-up, as you said, right? Absolutely no follow-up, no explanation, no hypotheticals were discussed whatsoever. But Kim, meeting halfway means you get to see half the back. That's how it works.
I love how Julian is trying to negotiate with Mahmoud. Like, it's just three small pieces of flesh. What is the problem?
How about, you know, your religion's not that important. So it's really fun. I mean, everyone that has listened to us for any amount of time knows how we feel about this type of stuff. But for this complete stranger to just sit there and try to convince this guy he knows absolutely nothing about to just loosen up a little on his faith is pretty rich.
Yeah. It's funny. I just want to know what they both think meeting halfway, and I want to know what Mahmood means by I'll try. Like, what does that mean? I'll try. Try to do what?
I mean,
care
maybe
less?
To him.
Be less religious? I don't get it.
I wonder if he feels like his compromise was allowing her to leave at all.
Yeah, I don't know. He had to have expected that she's going to do that if they're in America.
He kind of intimated this episode without really explaining it. Look, I just didn't want to go with her.
Yeah.
Right. Implying that he's not, I mean, he's obviously upset, but he's not going to like stop her from dressing. He just doesn't want to be associated with it himself, which
yeah,
obviously he's like way more pissed than just that. But maybe that's what he's thinking to himself or trying to convince himself of.
Maybe. Who else was in this episode? We get a lot of Emily and Kobe.
Yeah, a whole lot.
Bossy, bossy, bossy. Why is she mad, Kobe? What? What'd I do? What'd I say?
We were just trying to explain how you're a terrible, terrible person that is a complete ignorant moron. Did your husband explain anything to you about, if wives should take a bunch of bros out to the club? No? Oh, okay. Well, shut up, bossy.
It is straight. Like, if this really was a super cultural faux pas, Kobe would have said something, right?
That's what I felt like. It makes sense from their perspective that that's not something that a woman with three kids would do. Right.
I guess
that's kind
yeah,
of their
sure.
point. It's just not a thing. And do you see a lot of women with three kids at the club even here in their mid 30s?
No.
Not really. But no one's going to really like give a shit and like judge you that hard. But I think that's the weird thing is this maybe was Emily's idea. But if Kobe really felt like this was going to result in a shit show of judgment, he would have told her not to come or yeah. to change the plans. This was either completely fabricated for drama or Kobe completely dropped the ball and Emily should, I think, be pissed at him.
Yeah. And also, wasn't this whole plan cooked up by the friend, the female friend, the mutual friend?
I don't know if she I can't remember if she specifically said take them to like a nightclub and get bottle service or some shit, but yeah, I mean, her point was just try again. Don't give up.
Yeah, I guess. It does make sense, too, though. Like Emily says, I don't have a house here. Like, I can't invite you over to entertain you because I'm not at home.
What is she going to fucking cook for them?
I don't know.
Like, what are you talking about? Like, that would be setting her up to fail immediately.
Here's some pizza. Here's some quesadillas. Like, I don't know.
Or maybe if she tried to cook some Cameroonian food, like, you're just rolling the dice.
Yeah, no, that sounds hard.
And she doesn't even know all of the traditions of hosting in Cameroon, unless Kobe told her. And then
no.
It just wouldn't be, like, authentic anyway. So, I don't know. The scene where she's all over Kobe was annoying to me. We'll get into it more, but the club scene was just like stupid. Come on.
It was kind of funny.
I kind of understand that it's just not something that's done, but apparently nobody told her that. And they can't see her perspective at all that she was just trying to make nice.
Yeah. Kyle, let's get started talking about Nicole and Mahmood. We've already talked a lot about this. Maybe we should start with somebody. Well, it's too late.
Well, look, let me ask you something. Based on your experience, is she more conservative than most females in Los Angeles?
I don't know. Like, how? like that specific dress, like it's too, it's very fashion. It's a fashion statement. I almost said fashion forward, but I don't think that's necessarily true. I mean, it's hot. So like people wear whatever the fuck they want. Like people in Venice will wear like a napkin and walk down the street and like nobody cares. So I don't know. It's hard to say. She wears form-fitting clothes. Is that different than showing skin? She's also 40. Not that that really matters either, but no comment. I don't know.
I feel like she's pretty middle of the road for 40, but the thing is he's also like, I don't know. I think he, in his head, he's only thinking of white women. I think if you include, okay. I mean, fucking over half of Los Angeles is like Hispanic. So if you include that, she's not more conservative at all.
You think they're more conservative?
Oh yeah. Broadly.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I just don't understand why her friends are trying to be peacemakers with this. I mean, if you walk into this situation and Nicole screams, "You're a fucking little fucker," or whatever she screamed. Like at that point, don't you just kind of want, I feel like I would want this to end and I would do what I needed to do to facilitate like a peaceful parting as soon as possible. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I have the same note that if I were at a friend's house late at night after a night of drinking and woke one of their spouses up and the spouse and continued to fight with the other whose house we were at, I would leave immediately. But no, they continue to stay. I'm glad they do because this is funny, but it's kind of insane, also.
It is completely, I feel like, antisocial. It's like, it's just wild that they just mill about looking shocked that this is happening. And the only person that really tries to do anything is Julian. And the other people just kind of sit around looking stunned. But like you said, they don't leave the premises. I wonder if they think like this is going to continue to escalate and they just want to like observe. But Nicole is the one escalating so far. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Nicole is really escalating, not, and she's...
They're really not doing anything to calm her down either.
No, they're not. She is screaming, "Get out of here!" And so he's like, okay, and he starts packing. He's like,
okay. Mahmood, stop, I wasn't serious. I didn't he's mean like, it.
I listen to women. You told me to get out of here, so I am leaving now. And she gets mad. It's so good. That's why I'm saying she's got to be drunk, right?
Can you just imagine how baffling it is for a woman to scream, "Get out," and then 2 seconds later, just be like, "Well, I didn't mean it." I think like if you grew up here, just with our media, I feel like you've been exposed to that level of crazy on TV before. So maybe that's it wouldn't true. Like be that. Like you wouldn't be that taken aback, like, oh, okay, she's just wasted, kind of like ignore kind of everything from there on and just try to go to bed. But Mahmood is just like, what the fuck are you saying?
He's so confused.
Everyone like fucking like stands in front of the door like they're not gonna let him leave. Why?
Julian tries to physically restrain him at one point. Like, no, no. I mean, he doesn't really, I don't want to like exaggerate. I mean, Julian doesn't like shove him or anything, but he does like kind of put his hand on his shoulder, like, don't leave. And Mahmood is like, no, I'm leaving.
I'm going.
But then he tries to negotiate. He's trying to negotiate with Mahmood. Well, meeting her halfway is just to expose a little bit of her back. Like, what are you doing? Like,
maybe instead of running into traffic, we can go back out on the balcony. That's better.
Right? Yeah. So I don't know why the friends are still there.
This was really, really cringy to watch, but very funny
very funny.
Julian, his strategy here was just hysterical to me. Like, okay, like he's a guy. I'm a guy. Let's bro out about these fucking females, and maybe I can connect with him. First of all, why? Yeah. Like, why? And second, he knows nothing about this guy. He's not driven by. He's just, I don't know. He's like, this has nothing to do with alpha male energy. You know what I mean?
No, nothing. No. Like,
in the way that Americans think about that.
I will say, like, going back to their first season, when in their, like, meet cute story, like, remember Nicole was on her spiritual journey in Egypt, and Mahmoud, like, met her in a market, or saw her in a market one day. Why was he trying to date a foreign girl?
He's weird. Like, isn't he like 22 or something? I don't know.
He's like 27 now. He was,
it's like
young.
Bragging rights. You know what I mean?
He took it a little too far.
Yeah. What, Kim? He fell in love. They're star-crossed lovers. Nothing can break them apart.
Well,
for the fifth time.
This is why fairy tales are dangerous, because they need to break up. This is so bad. When Julian is
if she did tarot, the cards would tell her that everything's going to be okay.
Yeah. I mean, look, it was just really funny when Julian is like doing his in the moment interview.
Oh, that's
great. Nicole's like screaming at Mahmoud in the background.
Get out of my fucking house!
Oh, man. So I don't know how drunk her friend, the other friends are just kind of like shocked. Julian runs after him in the street. That's it. This is like the same scene we've been seeing for three episodes now. I'm still not tired of it. Not going to lie. I'm a trash person. So
I think they stretched out. I think they stretched out what actually took place across maybe 5 minutes into 20 minutes of content. And they will continue to.
Yeah. We see a lot of people move to the United States on this show into kind of questionable housing situations at times. I don't know. I mean, sometimes these people need, you know, like privacy, kind of a crazy idea.
I'm thinking about Jasmine. She could really use some blinds in that weird townhouse that Gino lives in. There's definitely neighbors watching her while she's vacuuming in the middle of nowhere, Michigan, after she went and bought a butt.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, blinds are essential to a nice home. I don't feel comfortable in my house without blinds, but blinds are also something you don't buy like every day.
It turns out there's a better way to buy blinds and window treatments, and it's called 3-Day Blinds. They are the leading manufacturer of custom window treatments in the United States, and right now they are running a buy one, get one, 50% off deal. Even Polish wife uses 3-Day Blinds, and that's saying something.
That is saying a lot. I mean, we can shop for almost anything at home, so why not shop for blinds at home too? 3-Day Blinds is local, professionally trained design consultants who have an average of 10 plus years of experience that provide expert guidance on the right blinds for you in the comfort of your own home. Just set up an appointment and you'll get a free, no obligation quote the same day.
And if you're not very handy, or if your wife just prefers a professional to do things like my wife, the expert team at 3-Day Blinds handles all the heavy lifting. They design, measure, and install, so you can sit back, relax, and leave it to the pros. You know,
Measuring's hard. Measuring is hard. It is. It really is. And anyway, no matter your unique need, from motorization to home automation, my husband's obsessed with home automation, to room darkening or child safety, which is something we're thinking about a lot lately. 3-Day Blinds lets you choose from thousands of options that fit any budget or style, with the actual samples that you won't be guessing about what your blinds will look like.
Right now, you can get 3-day blinds, buy one, get one 50% off deal on custom blinds, shades, shutters, and drapery. For a free, no charge, no obligation consultation, just head to 3dayblinds.com/craycray.
That's the number 3. So that's buy one, get one 50% off when you head to 3dayblinds. That's the number 3dayblinds.com/craycray. And one last time, that's 3daiblinds.com/craycray. I hear a lot about new sleep hacks these days. My friends are all using like these new fancy noise machines and keeping sleep logs and buying new blackout blinds and curtains to make their rooms darker. They're always trying to get me to try out these little hacks, but I've already transformed my sleep with Boll & Branch. Boll & Branch makes the softest, most breathable bedding you'll ever feel. And right now, you can take 20% off everything during their best sale of the entire season. That's 20% off their buttery sheets, airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and much more. They're made with the highest quality 100% organic cotton and are yours to try with their 30-night worry-free guarantee. I've had Boll & Branch sheets for a few months now, and I love them more and more every night. I've read so many reviews. I think there's over 11,000 reviews saying that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash, but it really is true. They're really softer today than when I first got them. I didn't believe that would be true at first, but it is. And these incredible sheets definitely have made a difference in my sleep quality. It's so nice to get into a bed made with Boll & Branch sheets at night. It just feels so luxurious. And we spend a lot of our lives in bed, so don't we deserve some luxury there? Boll & Branch signature sheets are the perfect way to start upgrading your sleep. They come in 14 versatile colors in all sizes, from twin up to California King. They're also, importantly, made without toxins. They're free from synthetic pesticides, formaldehyde, and other harsh chemicals. And if you're thinking, well, aren't all sheets free from these really gross pesticides? No, they're actually not. Some sheets are made with this crazy stuff like formaldehyde and harsh chemicals, but never Boll & Branch sheets. Also, they have a 30-night worry-free guarantee, so you can wash, style, and sleep in their sheets for an entire month. And if you don't love them, you can send them right back. Sleep better with the softest, most breathable bedding from Boll & Branch during their best sale of the entire season. Get 20% off your order when you use promo code CRAYCRAY. That's bollandbranch.com. bollandbranch.com. And use promo code CRAYCRAY. Exclusions apply. See site for details. Who do you want to talk about next? Emily and Kobe?
Sure.
There's a lot here. That leg is not looking good. Not looking good. Big yike. Yeah. Big yike.
She's super pissed about his friends telling her that she sucks at wifing. And what's your opinion on the I don't want someone at the wedding who doesn't want you to be married to me?
I mean, she knows that's not going to fly. These are his best friends. But she does have a point that they're his best friends are sitting there saying, oh, you guys, your marriage isn't going to last. She's like, we have three kids. Well, they have two kids at this point, but I'm pretty sure she's pregnant and when they're filming this. So come on, man. Really?
That's a whole separate thing. That's just fucking stupid. But the wedding, the don't invite your friends to the wedding thing, I think is dumb because that's just like a super American centric view of wedding ceremonies and what their purpose is. And I think that if this was, we talk about all the time, like it's your wedding, invite whoever the fuck you want. But this isn't really Emily's wedding, like at all.
Yeah.
This is for his family. Like it just is. This has very little to do with her, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. I don't believe for a second that these best friends of Kobe are not coming. So,
of course they are.
Kobe also asked the question. I thought this was really funny. He's like, well, what kind of conversation were you having with my friends that this even came up? Like, yeah.
I mean, to be fair, and she... they really kind of went after this pretty hard first, I think.
Yeah.
I think she opened the conversation saying, like, I heard you guys don't think I should be married. What's up with that? Which I don't think is unreasonable to like bring that up. And then they just fucking launch in. They doubled down like a lot last episode, whether you agree with them or not. Like, they really fucking went for it. They did not hold back.
No, they sure didn't. Then we have this whole, like, they're still going hard at her too. We'll get to the club scene, which we already talked about a lot, but I mean, normally I would say, like, if they were in America and let's say some of Emily's friends were talking shit about Kobe, I would kind of say, yeah, they shouldn't go to the wedding because that's kind of messed up. But for some reason, because they don't live in Cameroon and these people never get to see Kobe, like, they've got to go to the wedding. They just do.
Well, it's more of a cultural, it's a cultural event for the broader family in Cameroon, as opposed to it's the bride's rules in the U.S. It's just a different thing.
Yeah.
Do you think that he was still dating this woman when he met Emily in China? And I mean, it is kind of, if I was Emily, I think it is maybe a little concerning that they still chat, but you just don't really know anything.
What? Define dating. Like,
well, yeah, we don't even know. Kobe just kind of denies everything and doesn't really give any actual details of the nature of their relationship, right? So we just don't know.
He doesn't even really deny. Yeah, he just says, she's like, oh, yeah, and your friends told me you were dating your ex while you were in China and we were getting together. I'm like, okay, how long was he in China? A year?
He does deny. He basically denies for sure. He said that Valerie was lying, but
you're right. He did say that because he said, who do you believe, me or Valerie? And I'm like, well, that's your best friend. Why would your best friend say something shitty about you to make you look bad to your wife? Like, that's kind of weird.
I mean, unless you believe they'll say anything to break them up.
Yeah, I guess that's true. But then you should also be pissed at your friend for that. That's kind of messed up.
I don't know how mad he is. It doesn't come up at the club yet.
Like, what does dating mean? Like, if let's say he was in China for 2 years. He didn't go home, so he just, like, didn't see this girl for 2 years. Maybe they chatted from time to time. Maybe they, you know, on WhatsApp or something. Does that constitute dating? I don't know. I don't think he was, like, committed to her when he's being an underwear model in China and taking off his shirt at the club, like, showing off his hot abs. Like, I don't think that was the friend's description, by the way, not mine. Or Kobe's.
I don't think it's, I mean, it doesn't sound that crazy to me because of, like, the way they met. It's not like he and Emily met at the library and, like, went and got coffee a bunch in fucking Beijing and slowly developed a friendship before they, you know, they fucking met at the club. They humped on the dance floor
later that night. They
double extra humped and he fucking knocked her up in 2 seconds. Like, of course he could have been cheating. You know what I mean?
Also, I am also curious. Didn't she get pregnant, like, within weeks of meeting him?
Yes, like, immediately.
Like, probably that kind of changes things, you know? I mean, maybe he was like, yeah, this is just a fling, whatever. But then when she got pregnant, he's like, oh shit.
Yeah, I gotta dump this girl.
Better break up with that girl I'm dating back home.
Right.
Crazier things have happened.
That's my point. Yes.
I mean, do you think Emily has the right to be pissed about that if it's true? It's kind of too late. It's like, what are you going to do about it now?
Well, yeah, that would be the resolution if it was true. If it was true, the resolution would be, you know, side eye and just use it as another reason to be mean to him sometimes. But she's not going to, like, divorce him.
No, exactly. It's like, what does it matter if the answer is yes? Why do you even want to know? It's because Emily says, oh, well, let's call her. I'm like, let's please, first of all. I would love to see this. I love it when they bring in, like, unsuspecting third-party people. Do you remember when Usman, when his mom set him up with that, like, super hot, like, 20-year-old girl? And Kimberly was there.
Yeah. Emily is absolutely the type of person that, like, just she kind of feel she has to be in control. And yeah. knowing every piece of information that exists is a part of that kind of like broader control thing. So she's going to be driven insane by this, even if it's irrelevant.
Yeah, totally. I do hope they call the ex-girlfriend. I want to see what she has to say. I'm really curious what she looks like. I don't know. I just kind of want to see it now. They piqued my interest. The whole like, oh no, we're coming up on a checkpoint. There's people with guns.
It's literally like nothing happens.
Like nothing. Yeah.
And then they meet a very, very excitable friend from China who is also named Valerie.
Yeah. At an amusement park. I liked this woman. She was so excited to see them because think about it. This woman was at the club. She was Kobe's roommate. And she saw them meet. She basically saw this whole thing unfold.
She's seen things and heard things for sure.
She did. Look, I have friends like this that like I introduced them when I was in Spain and it was like a drunken, crazy party night. And I watched them like basically fall in love in like a matter of 8 hours. And they're still married and have like 3 kids and live in California. And they live in California. Yeah.
The only thing I remember from this entire scene is that this Valerie woman calls Emily bossy to her face. She's like, I'm not bossy. It's like, oh, you're fucking bossy. What are you talking about?
Emily, you know you're bossy. It was really funny. But yeah. But this is a friend that says, hey, look, try to get closer to his friends. Spend right. time with them. I have in my notes, this is a terrible idea.
Right.
But Emily says, I just have to show them fun, Emily, and what it's like to party with me. The friend does not dissuade her from this idea.
Yeah. Yeah. I do wonder if Kobe's friends are actually like relatively conservative for Cameroon and or if this is like 100% just on the nose, like across the board. This is pretty typical. You know, TLC has a habit of showing us just like one facet of countries, particularly Africa and Muslim countries. And a lot of viewers just think it's a monolith of opinion. So I am curious if these particular guys are just fucking woman in the kitchen, but typical, like it's more open-ended in different parts of the country or just different friend groups. I don't know. It's this is always what fucking happens in Africa and the Middle East on this show.
I mean, look, we know Michael. We know there's different cultural norms because Michael's getting BJs on the way home from the club, as we know.
Michael fucking dated, Michael married Angela. So obviously he's like an outlier just right there.
He is an outlier. Yeah, he is an outlier. Hope he's safe. Take care of you, Michael.
And I do, yeah, I mean, I do wonder why Valerie didn't like tell her like, hey, if you want to impress his friends and get them on your good side, these sound like pretty traditional guys. The best thing you can do is like cook them a meal at your Airbnb. You know, why isn't anyone telling her that?
I don't know.
This seems like completely self-evident to his friends. Like, of course, like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, of course you would cook for us if you want us to like you. Like, that's like kind of their attitude, you know?
It is. They also look a little older. Like, there's one guy in particular that does not.
He looks like somebody's uncle showed up to just, like, lecture Emily at the club.
Yeah. I love that Emily brings her Louis Vuitton purse to the club, too. But it's not, like, a cute wristlet like clubbing purse. It's like a big mom bag. It's really funny. And she's brings them also to a club that Kobe used to go to all the time.
It looks like shit goes down in this club.
It does.
They this is the time of, they have to hose this place down every night, dude.
I mean, nobody's there when they get there. I think it's early.
This place smells like old sticky beer on the floor that's been on the floor for the last couple weeks.
Sticky something. But Kobe immediately starts doing a strip tease and makes fun of how white people dance, which was funny. And Emily states that two cultures can blend and be happy forever.
It's that easy, you know? Mm-hmm. Well, you know, his friends are shocked. And at first, you know, you're kind of led to believe that the friends are shocked because they're like, wow, Emily is really going out of her way to ingratiate herself to us. But nope, they're shocked because she is acting like a fucking slut woman that should be back in the kitchen cooking. So yeah. That's great. That's good.
I mean, right away, but they're all drinking. So you're thinking like they didn't come in and say, oh, we don't want to be here. They come in, they're like, yeah, they're like ordering drinks.
Well, of course they're going to order drinks. They have to go tell off the bossy girl. You got to be kind of wasted to confront Emily. She's scary.
Emily even says that she prefers a 9 p.m. bedtime. So I guess she's getting her wish because I don't think she's going to be at this club much longer.
No, definitely not. No. Yeah. In Africa, women are graded, which let's not grade women. But in Africa, women are graded in how she invites people, not in bar or nightclub. I grade this bad.
Wah, wah, wah. This whole like interview with the three friends outside the club was so confusing because they're talking about how Emily invited them to the club. And this is why they need to pray for Emily and Kobe in their marriage. I was like, wait, what? And then it takes like further explanation to understand that, oh, she should have cooked for them. And that's why they're praying for their marriage, because this is very much disrespect.
Yeah.
It was, I feel like they edited this to make it weird. And I wish we would have gotten a more understandable explanation, but they kind of just tell her to her face.
Emily never actually says that it was her idea to go to the club, does she?
Not really, but I think she is the one that like texted them and invited them, I guess.
Or told Kobe to do it, yeah. More likely. Yeah.
They say, after the handball, you proceeded to invite us out. Mostly when a wife invites us, she invites us to a house and not a nightclub. We grade this bad. Yeah. Well, even Kobe.
It's you know, in Emily's head, she's making an effort, but there's certainly things in the U.S. that would be perceived as like absurd. If you just got in a fight with someone and then you invited them out to, I don't know, like go to Build-A-Bear or something, people would be like, what the fuck are you talking about? What? I don't know. That was a weird example, but there's plenty of activities that you could invite people to that would be offensive if you were beefing, you know?
I guess, and, but I would just see it as like trying to make up.
But it's just strange that, I don't know, nobody told her that this is weird. And just let it happen. It feels like sabotage, either from Kobe, production, the friends, everyone involved here. But then, you know, then we get into the bickering. And Emily says, no matter what I do, I can't win. And then there's interruptions, back and forth, accusations of bossiness. How dare you? How dare you get mad that I interrupted you? And then... that's it. Why is she so angry, Kobe? Why is she angry?
We just told her really mean things repeatedly, and she stormed off.
We just Kobe, she was a fucking ignorant moron. God.
Kobe even says, he's like, look, I didn't marry an African woman. I married an American woman. She's going to stand up for herself, and why don't you guys just have some fun?
But he doesn't really say that.
No, he says it in an ITM. makes it funnier. All right.
Emily sucks, but I don't think this was completely her fault.
No. I mean, I know people dislike Emily quite strongly, but I don't think she did anything wrong here. Sorry. You want to talk about Rob and Sophie?
Speaking of doing things wrong, let's talk Rob putting the ring that you fished out of a drawer that is definitely not the engagement ring, shoving it into a lump of soft cheese that Sophie doesn't even... I mean, even if she absolutely fucking loved cream cheese...
That was not cream cheese. That's the thing. It was mozzarella cheese, which, to be clear...
Why would you put mozzarella cheese with, like, lox?
No, I think because... That is a number one question. Clearly, this guy doesn't know what lox is. But then secondly, he also does... I think it's because the mozzarella is more structured to, like, prop up the ring.
Yeah.
Because if you just dipped it in cream, it's like putting a ring in hummus. If you put it in like cream cheese, it just doesn't
You could secure a ring in a block of cream cheese if it was refrigerated.
That's true.
We're not talking whipped here.
That's true. But yeah, she says, but look, Sophie, mozzarella cheese doesn't smell. She's like, I don't like cheese because it smells bad. I'm like, I understand that about like blue cheese.
First of all, how dare you?
Yeah. And also, like, who doesn't like cheese?
What the fuck you talking? What else is there to fucking eat in London? Shut up.
Yeah. It's not like she. Look, if you're lactose intolerant, fair game. I know people that can't eat cheese because of that. But that's different than saying it smells. It's also mozzarella. It's not like you put a weird cheese. I don't know.
It's the mildest cheese that there is. You're just wrong, Sophie. You're wrong. There's
barely a perceptible flavor or taste.
You're just wrong.
Mm-hmm. I
hope spiders crawl in your mouth at night.
Stop.
Well, it's not even the ring. And listen, again, even if she was a connoisseur, a lover of cheese, don't put wedding rings in cheese.
Yeah, it's not a great idea. Put it in a strawberry, a nice, pretty strawberry. Or just like give it back to her because you've already given her this ring.
Give it back to her.
Maybe make sure it's actually her wedding ring.
Maybe add a little bit more flair to it than just serving brunch.
Okay, Kyle, does this constitute... Wow, I can't even say the word. Does this constitute serving brunch? He literally put 5 crackers on a plate and took 5 small pieces of smoked salmon off of the sheet and plopped it on the cracker and then put a ball of mozzarella in the middle of the plate. That is not making brunch.
This is low effort breakfast charcuterie board.
Not even, because a charcuterie requires 4 elements. This just had a couple crackers, salmon, and a mozzarella.
The fourth element, olives.
Oh, you're right.
Jesus.
He didn't even bring her like a cup of coffee with it, like nothing. This is weird. Get her some cucumbers or some red onion with her fucking lox. And I'm sorry, just Sophie, you think mozzarella cheese smells, but you're cool with the smoked salmon?
Right. Thank you.
Makes no sense.
Yeah.
Okay. Rant over.
His spider's names that we are aware of are...
Tamo.
Swag. Venom. and Amore.
I thought it was just Amore, which is why I call that spider Tamo. Yeah. So great.
He's like a fucking like edgelord 12-year-old dude.
It's really funny. I mean, these spiders are in tiny little... Is that cool? Like, don't they want to crawl around a little bit?
I don't know. I don't know what spiders like.
And why can't they be together?
They might devour each other. Not sure.
He says they're known as a pet rock because they don't need anything, which I'm like, okay. And then they live for 25 years, which means he's going to be 60 when they die. It's a lot.
We have basically an entire scene of her touching them, getting just, yeah. And then he puts his ring back on and he says, I realize I come off like an asshole sometimes. That's a revelation you should have had a long time ago, man.
We get an entire scene of Sophie talking about her snail sanctuary and then trying to touch the tarantula's butt and then saying how soft it was. Well, the next scene, soft like somebody's dick, because then we get a scene of making jewelry with Kay where they're talking about too many details. It's actually kind of mean.
It is really a bit strange, the whole situation. They haven't had sex for 6 months. They're young.
Dude, what's happening? Just goes to show. These are two incredibly hot people and they're not fucking. Yeah. So just a reminder to all of us average looking people that just because people are super hot doesn't mean they're banging. Yeah.
That's a good life lesson. It's just, yeah, it's really strange that I guess this dude is just really into fetish shit. And
I mean, but not until he was married. Maybe chat about that before you get married. I don't know.
The whole thing's very confusing, but I think the biggest thing that happens that is like setting up the plot for the next four episodes and the next fight is that she has had sex with a woman before. So we have more secrets from Sophie that Rob is going to be very upset about. But don't worry, it was years ago. So basically she made out with a chick when she was 14. And we're going to like stretch this out four episodes.
She made out with a chick and Callum. Neither one of these went over very well with Rob. I just like, look, I want to know more about the not having sex. Is this Sophie's trying to have sex with Rob? And he says, no, not unless you put a costume on.
It doesn't really sound like that. It kind of sounds mutual.
Right. It kind of sounds like he like sexts her during the day and says like, hey, why don't you come home like dressed up in this costume and I'll be DTF. Yeah. And she's like, nah. And then they just like neither one addresses it ever.
Like she's definitely sexually frustrated, but she doesn't really tell her, I try to initiate all the time. And he just says, no.
Is she sexually frustrated? She doesn't seem that frustrated. Kay seems frustrated.
She's complaining about it to Kay.
Kind of.
But yeah, she actually doesn't seem, you're right. Like she doesn't actually seem that upset about it. She just kind of feels like accepting. And Kay is like mad for her.
Compare that to Jasmine being sexually frustrated. Like, that is sexual frustration, folks. Okay? Yeah. This girl is just like, I mean, yeah, we haven't had sex. And she's like a little bit embarrassed to talk about it. That's it. I don't know that she seems actually that frustrated.
That's fair. Yeah.
But this is what's messed up. It's towards the end. Sophie says she wants Rob to go to therapy, but then she herself says that therapy sounds awful and she doesn't want to go. That's weird. I'm sorry.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Talking to a stranger about your problem sounds awful, but Rob, you go do that.
Exactly. I don't know. I can't get a vibe either on if Kay has a crush on Sophie.
Yes.
You think so?
She definitely wants to bang her.
They do have that blanket. For those of you who didn't see, they have a blanket. I got a screenshot of like episode one of the season where they're laying in bed together chatting, Kay and Sophie, and they have like a blanket on the bed that says like best friends, and it's a picture of the two of them.
Kay would have sex with Sophie just to spite Rob.
Yeah, maybe. I think she does hate him that much. That'd be a fun storyline. Should get production to set that up. All right. Anything else?
No. Let's talk Thais, I don't even remember his fucking name. Patrick. If Patrick wants to ingratiate himself to Dad, definitely get a different hat. That is hideous.
It's pretty bad. It's pretty bad.
Yeah. That's the Gino wouldn't even wear that.
No, he sure wouldn't. There's just so many other good gifts you could get a person. Like, how about a bottle of nice whiskey or something? I don't know.
I mean, a nice pair of jeans.
Yeah. everybody wants Levi's. Everybody.
You have a shitload of money. Get him an iPhone.
Oh, there's a good idea. Lots of ideas. I mean, they just have a baby. So they're packing for Brazil. Like
four Teslas and two houses and apparently apartments in other countries.
Okay. The
loaded.
Apartment thing's confusing. I feel like his dad owns this apartment and Airbnbs it. When he says that they rent it, I think that they're just renting it for the time that they're there, right?
I don't know. Like, he kind of made it out to be that he just pays part of the rent straight up. And they just have this place around, but there's no way he's been there in the last year and a half, 2 years.
Right. No, that's why it didn't make any sense. And then apparently his dad makes him play handyman when he's there, which I have a baby,
which is
dude.
Funny.
I'm not doing that. I'm not painting this apartment when I have a baby.
I'm curious to see what their relationship dynamic is like, because Thais makes it sound like his dad's really annoying and just kind of orders Patrick around all the time and doesn't like really treat him like an adult.
Yeah.
And is just kind of like barging in and taking charge of everything, but we haven't even heard the man speak. And so Thais comes off a little bit weird this episode because, like, if you don't know anything about the guy, Patrick hasn't, even if he's a jerk, Patrick hasn't seen him for over a year. So who fucking cares that he comes over? Like, you should expect that. Come, give me a break.
Polish
father-in-law would 1,000% do that shit. Are you kidding
me? She's a baby.
You think Polish mother-in-law's not coming over to the fucking house when we travel to Poland within 30 minutes of us arriving to see my son? Give me a break.
That's fair enough, but I get it when you've traveled and you've done a long trip with a baby that you just want to, like, get the baby down to sleep.
Well, yeah, that's what you want, but we don't get what we want with fucking Eastern European parents. Apparently Brazilians, too.
Yeah, basically any parents, but yeah, it would be annoying. I can get it. You want to rest. I did laugh at Patrick hobbling through the airport with his giant leg brace that he got playing flag football. It's great.
Dork.
She's still making him carry all that heavy luggage, too, even though he's only got one leg.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. How could he drive with only one leg?
Why did they bring their fucking dog to Brazil?
Oh, my gosh. Thank you. Why are they bringing the dog? I guess they don't have anybody to watch the dog because John's coming. Kind of left the dog with Megan.
You've got friends. You got plenty of money. Is the dog just too precious to be boarded somewhere? Like, man.
Can you take even a small dog like that on the plane on an international flight?
Yeah, it's small enough.
Jeez, that's crazy.
It's a really tiny little floof dog.
I would be really annoyed if I had to move a dog every time I had to pee on a 12-hour international flight. Yeah. Excuse me, let me get past your dog. So Patrick says that he speaks Portuguese, so he'd drive good, but doesn't know what stop sign is. So that's a problem.
I thought it was funny that the stop signs look exactly the fucking same as they do in the United States. He's just deciding that there's no law in Brazil, and he's YOLOing it on purpose because he feels like he can get away with it. I'll tell you, there's two countries that provide the overwhelming majority of horrific dash cam footage that I see: Russia and Brazil. If you want, if you fucking put Brazil dash cam video into YouTube, you're going to see some shit that's going to keep you up at night.
No,
maybe, no, thank you. Maybe stop at a stop sign.
Dude, you have a baby in the car. Like and a the tiny dog. Baby. Okay. And the dog, but like stop at the stop sign, dude.
Dumbass.
Hard pass. Then, you know, we already talked about Patrick's dad. That's about it. John's not there yet.
His dad calls him a little bastard. Her dad. Which is fucking funny because he speaks Portuguese.
I know. Her dad, remember how mean he was? Like, we ended their season. Her dad basically was like, I'm not giving you my blessing. And like, I'm not talking to this guy. He was pretty brutal.
And so. If I recall correctly, I mean, Patrick, I have goldfish brain. I don't remember their season basically at all except steak on the floor. this was at least partially Thais's fault, if I recall correctly.
And yeah, Patrick kind of mentions that.
Yeah.
Yeah, she didn't tell him.
But right. Thais is a perfect little princess that can do no wrong, I'm sure. So
perfect.
Yeah.
Kyle, what's your overall grade for the episode?
Considering half of it was 303 tummy tuck and Ed being, you know, whatever he was doing, I don't give a shit. I give it a C.
Yeah,
but then the Nicole Mahmood scene was amazing. It was just so absurd. And she's just a holy terror. And it's wild to watch the... this is the old HEA switcheroo right here. You know what I mean? This is great.
It sure is. It is great. Yeah. It is great. Next time on, we get to see Jasmine's birthday party and Patrick being a handyman in the apartment. And thank God Ashley and Manuel are back talking more about our man God. And we see Mahmood. They imply that Mahmood is like, now still roaming the streets of LA, but with a giant Rolly suitcase.
Yeah.
Can't wait to see that. Let's get there. Quick shout out to our sponsors. Thank you so much to 3-Day Blinds for their buy one, get one 50% off deal. Head to 3dayblinds.com/craycray. And thank you so much to Boll & Branch. I genuinely love this brand and these sheets. Get 15% off your order when you use promo code craycray at bollandbranch.com. Kyle, what are we talking about on B-sides?
We shall be talking about Love in Paradise, Sandy Butts.
Woo! Sandy Butts.
And then we're going to hard fucking turn like 180 degrees and continue talking about prison, Chili.
Unlocked, a jail experiment. If you haven't been watching, it's been number one on Netflix for like a week now, over a week. And we've been chatting about that. It's pretty fun. Yeah, so I guess that's it. We will see y'all next week with HEA Season 8, Episode 7 already, if you can believe it.
Stay tuned if you're a subscriber for Seeking Sister Wife, which is just the best thing.
Truly, truly.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening.
Oi, thanks for listening to 90 Day Fiancé Cray Cray. Don't forget to subscribe and leave us a 5-star review wherever you listen. You can follow us on Instagram and Threads at 90 Day Fiancé Cray Cray. Join our community of Cray Crays by subscribing to our premium podcast feed for $5, either on Supercast or Patreon by visiting realitycraycray.com. Benefits include 3 times the podcast content you get now, ad-free, covering all other 90 Day Fiancé content, and our listener-requested favorite shows outside 90 Day. Access to our members-only Facebook group with thousands of 90 Day fanatics, our podcast archives with over 600 episodes, all ad-free, and you can listen to all of that on your favorite podcast player. With an optional subscription add-on, you also get access to our long-form documentary podcast, D-Sides, where we cover the latest streaming documentaries. You're almost there, lazy. Go to realitycraycray.com and sign up literally in seconds if you use Apple Pay. All the links I've mentioned are in the show notes. Thanks again, and see you next week.